Welcome to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing. I'm T. Hetzel, and today I'll be speaking with Jonathan Alexander of the University of California, Irvine, about working with faculty across disciplines to foster good writing instruction. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you so much, T. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks for being here today, and you've spoken with the fellows, and thanks for taking the time for the podcast. A short bio before we get to the conversation with Jonathan. Jonathan Alexander is the Chancellor's Professor of English, Education, and Gender and Sexuality Studies, School of Humanities. He is the editor of College Composition and Communication. He is the director of the Center for Excellence in Writing and Communication. He is a campus writing coordinator at Irvine, and also he's the equity advisor for the School of Humanities. Jonathan Alexander's work focuses primarily on the use of emerging communications technologies in the teaching of writing and in shifting conceptions of what writing, composing, and authoring mean. Jonathan also works at the intersection of the fields of writing studies and sexuality studies, where he explores what discursive theories of sexuality have to teach us about literacy and literate practice in pluralistic democracies. Jonathan, how did you become interested in thinking about working with faculty across disciplines? And with the good writing instruction.
Sure, thank you. It's a great question. I sometimes ask myself that. How did I get here, and get the privilege to do what I do? I have long been interested in how people write outside of formal curricular circumstances. So, as a compositionist, as somebody who specializes in the teaching of writing and the study of the teaching of writing, I've spent a lot of time thinking about how people come to be literate, how they come to engage with texts, how they come to generate and compose their own texts. And I realized that a lot of the times, some of the most interesting ways in which people are learning to write or learning important things about writing occurs not always in the classroom. It occurs outside of the classroom when they're learning to create web spaces or respond to a blog post or navigate a tricky text messaging discussion or learning. Yeah, we've all been there. And so how do you do that? And capturing a sense of that, of how people are learning about writing in those spaces outside of the traditional composition classroom, has long been one of my scholarly endeavors. That's inevitably led me to think about the fact that people don't just learn to write in formal courses in high school or college comp courses. They're learning to write in many different disciplines. Most of our disciplines actually assign some kind of writing task or some kind of writing project. And the disciplines, particular disciplines, often treat writing in very special and very particular ways. Students write lab reports or requirements documents in engineering classes or analyses of works of art in art history classes or case studies and ethnographic projects in anthropology classes. They're writing all of this interesting stuff that they don't necessarily learn how to write in a comp course, and that often draws on their passions, their interests, the things that they're learning in the classroom, also out of the classroom. And so I just came to a point where I realized, wow, I want to talk to folks in many different disciplines about how they write, what kind of writing they do, and then how they teach people to write. So I'm fortunate that in my current position as campus writing director at UCI, I have the chance to work with faculty on precisely those issues, on how do they work with writers, how do they work with young academics and new academics, students, to develop a way to communicate within their chosen fields of study.
And it seems to me that in the composition classroom that you mentioned earlier, there is that tension of how to make what the students are learning in these scaffolded assignments to something that they'll either see in the next
classroom, right, or the next experience or whatnot.
Not English, no matter what discipline it's in, right?
That's one of the huge challenges I think that the field is trying to grapple with, both as a pedagogical issue and challenge, but also as a scholarly challenge as well. There's a lot of energy in the field right now of composition studies focused on transfer, on how do we understand what someone is learning and recognizing as important in one course or one domain or one encounter, and then transfer that to another course, domain, or encounter. And so that's a huge sort of kind of pedagogical, but also scholarly challenge that we're trying to wrap our minds around. And I think that any of us who are involved in writing program administration, who create scaffolded experiences, right, where students are moving from a course to another course, one comp course to another course, or a comp course to a general education course, or a course in their major.
Or poli-sci, right,
anything,
exactly.
Yeah. We're trying to ascertain how can we prepare students for that next course. Now, I think that's not the only thing that writing courses do. I mean, I think the lovely thing about composition is that we also are preparing students for writing, we hope, in a wide variety of circumstances, not just in college, but also out of college. I've also always been committed to the notion that we are really, as literacy instructors, as writing teachers, most engaged with preparing students for literate participation in pluralistic democracy. So I want my students not just to be able to go into an engineering course and complete it successfully, I want students to be able to understand writing as important for civic life as well. And that's hugely important. But today, here at Sweetland, I focused a lot of my time working with the Sweetland Fellows on thinking about how can faculty in different disciplines understand where their students are coming from as writers, and then better prepare those students to write within those disciplines.
And so it seems like this talk has come from what some of the work that you've been doing. Are there some strategies that instructors that you've sort of figured out now, Jonathan, that the instructors can take with them into the classroom?
Absolutely. I think it's important for faculty across the disciplines who themselves may not be trained as writing pedagogues, but still want to work with students on learning to write within their disciplines, that they understand in part where their students are coming from. You know, that a lot of the time students will have some expertise in writing that they will have written successfully in different courses, but that what the faculty member is trying to teach in her or his course is often going to be very different about writing, that you'll be inviting students to think about different genres of writing, about different discourse communities, about whole different ways of making knowledge. So for instance, a lot of our students who take first year writing courses, they're learning to write quote unquote research papers or research-driven arguments. But if the student goes into a lab course in the biological sciences, for instance, the student might be challenged with writing a lab report. That will be a completely new genre. And now there are going to be some things that the student has learned in the previous course that will be useful, such as learning the importance of proper citation, of not plagiarizing, but also learning that the basic academic orientation is toward filling in gaps in knowledge, looking at what people know and then trying to figure out what we need to know, that those basic kinds of skills and orientations are important. But the genre of the lab report will be brand new. And so focusing attention on why these genres in different disciplines are important, what they do, how they function, why a discipline favors a particular genre, that's an important part of training students to think about how writing works in a particular discipline for a particular public of scholars.
Because the word composition itself, if we're not thinking of it as the purely academic term, is quite beautiful, isn't it? Because you're composing.
Yes.
It's a composition.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Maybe it sounds like what you're saying too, Jonathan, is it's important to acknowledge that there's these different formations, these different genres that the student can step into and hopefully have some confidence built with these transferable skills.
Absolutely.
So is it fair to say that there's a way to talk about good writing is good writing in the composition classroom, yeah, so that students can feel like they'll be able to make that transfer to these other genres,
yeah,
that they step into in the other classrooms?
I think so. And maybe not always in the way that we've traditionally done it, but we are trying to figure out what it is that we do know about writing that we can teach the students that will be useful across many different domains of writing and many different challenges of writing that students might encounter. So a bad example would be, you know, we spend a lot of time sometimes in our courses talking to students about appropriate quotation. How do you quote? How do you paraphrase? How do you summarize? Well, it's important, you know, that students learn how to quote from a particular source, but it's just as important for students to recognize that they might move into some domains in which quotation is not a favored form of writing activity or compositional practice. So when I talk, for instance, to folks in biology, some scientists will say, oh, we never quote. We might quote from Darwin as a sort of rhetorical flourish, but we don't use quotations the way that someone in English or literature might use quotations. Now,
not as supporting evidence,
right,
as such, because you'd be using other types of research.
Precisely. So the scientists will absolutely cite previous research, but they summarize or paraphrase that previous research and cite it. So that leads to an important kind of disciplinary difference. Why would someone in literature, though, want to quote? Well, what they're interested in is not just what is being said, but how it's being said as well. So the quotation forms a very particular function in literary analysis that it wouldn't have that same function in scientific analysis. That's what I think we need to teach students, is not just the mechanics of doing something, but a larger rhetorical analysis, a larger rhetorical awareness of how writing takes shape in different disciplines, in different domains of study and inquiry, and it does different work. And so that's the sensibility I think that we can teach students.
And for students themselves, I'm trying to think too, like how they can feel. So if they're noticing and being able to see some of these,
right,
these differences,
right,
between the genres and name
absolutely
them.
Absolutely.
And then know that maybe, because I use the phrase clear and direct,
uh-huh,
for writing.
Uh-huh, right.
But sometimes that might take the form of maybe passive voice in certain.
It could. In some disciplines, many engineering documents are often will use the passive voice as a way to summarize previous kinds of knowledge or previous scholarship and research. Passive voice might be less appropriate in a women's studies analysis, for instance, in which the standpoint or perspective of the scholar is very important in undertaking the analysis. In that case, an active voice would be more appropriate. So I guess what I'm saying is that there are very sophisticated and disciplinary specific ways in which we use writing, and that one of the more powerful ways that we can teach writing to students is to attune them to, alert them to differences across the disciplines, and that there are different choices, not just formal conventional choices, but choices in how we are using writing to understand the world, to make sense of the world, to construct the world, and to communicate different kinds of knowledge about that world. That's what writing is. Writing is a force within the world that we use to shape our understanding of it and to communicate that shape to other people.
And I love that you said choices, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Understanding,
yeah,
the choices. And writing is a way of understanding the world, shaping the world, communicating in the world. I think you've got some YouTube videos out there, Jonathan.
I probably do.
Can look at. Well,
yes.
Well, because you were also here talking about teaching and technology.
I
took a little look for this, and I love that in one of the videos you say, I think with your writing center director hat,
yes,
on, perhaps, writing is a little bit dangerous. It asks us to consider what we believe to be true, question what it means to be human,
yeah,
what it means to be alive.
Yeah, I am absolutely committed to that as a kind of philosophy about writing. I want students to understand that writing can be transformative, that it can really change how we understand the world, and that we can use it to help not only inform other people's understanding of the world, but potentially challenge them as well and provoke them. We were talking about this earlier today in the Sweetland Fellows Seminar, that a lot of the times we will chastise students for starting a paper by saying, since the dawn of time, people have been faced with numerous problems. Okay, well, all of us are laughing, and even T is sort of smiling, you know, about that particular comment, that faux pas.
The opening
writing
line.
The opening gambit, right? You know, here's how I'm going to start. And I think a lot of the times, one of our knee-jerk reaction as writing instructors is just to say, oh, don't do that, you know, terrible way, stop it, blah, 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 blah. And instead, what I challenge us to do is to recognize that even though we don't want a student to start a paper with that sentence, there is nonetheless something good happening in that sentence. The sentence recognizes an impulse. It gives voice to an impulse that the student wants the writing to have force, to have power, to speak to something important, to have exigence, and to speak to a larger community. Those are all excellent impulses.
But name with which them.
To write. But name them, yes. And to become more
as the writing instructor, I mean.
Yes, yes, the writing instructor, yes, needs to name that. To recognize that even though the articulation is unfortunate, the impulse is absolutely right. And that instead of sort of punishing students for beginning a paper that way, we should instead sit down, stop, and talk with the student about the good impulse in saying, yes, your writing needs to be, you want your writing to actually have some exigence and to connect to larger publics. Let's talk about how we can actually do that and the choices that we can make to address different kinds of publics, the choices we can make about writing within particular genres to communicate our ideas, and the choices we can make about, you know, developing different standpoints and ways of communicating that will reach different publics about the issues, the challenges, the thoughts and ideas that we find most important and pressing.
And Jonathan, mm-hmm. do you use, because these are, what you're saying is very important and what I feel we're endeavoring mm-hmm. to do in the classroom. Do you find that incorporating an aspect of technology or new mm-hmm. media with the students, is that also another way to engage them in something that might feel more connected to their practical everyday life of writing?
Sure. Well, probably failing to do so would be to completely disengage them in some ways. I think what's so interesting about the technological moment that we live in is just the rise in ubiquity, just the ubiquity of technologically mediated forms of communication. I mean, I'm old enough that when I first started teaching, nobody had a personal computer. I didn't even buy my own personal computer until I was probably nearly 30 or 31.
Because was it sort of a word processor or so?
Right. Well, I even wrote out my dissertation longhand. And then after I got a chapter into relatively good shape, I would go to the computer lab on campus and then type it in. I mean, I was using the computer essentially as a glorified kind of word processor. But that was a late stage sort of thing that I would do. Now people, are, of course, composing with technology immediately all the time and composing in a variety of different media across many different platforms for a lot of different purposes. And so what's always interested me about technology over the last 20 plus years is the way in which it puts people's writing in touch with a lot of different other people. So I'm not just writing text messages. I could be writing a blog post. I could be writing a Facebook status update that will then potentially get picked up and shared by numerous people in engendering comments, and because I like to be provocative at times. So teaching people that you are actually using writing in those platforms to engage the world is really important. We're already doing that. Writing in the academy is another form of doing that.
And claiming a voice within that academy.
That's right, yeah.
Jonathan Alexander, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. This is great. I really appreciate the chance to talk.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/sweetland.